Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have a commissioned episode from Charlie Ward, one of our patrons, wanting to talk about the multiverse. All that and probably more after this ad we have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair, in the producer chair, we have Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm fantastic. A little hot, but fantastic.
Yeah, it's getting it's hot in your room, so we're going to get through this episode quick.
Summer.
Sorry,
yeah. I'm over summer. Why isn't it Halloween yet?
Right?
I hate summer.
We're conditioned as children to like summer because it was the time when there wasn't any school, but summer is actually the worst.
That's why they do it. So we have some positive connections to summer.
It's the only time that you're free.
We don't just all give up on life every summer. Okay, so like Jeff mentioned in the intro, this is a commissioned episode. We're trying to hit some commissioned episodes during this little break. You want to read that commission for us there, Jeff?
Charlie Ward, one of our patrons, says, I was thinking if you can do an episode solely focusing on the multiverse, including the Spider-Verse stuff. Some of it I don't really understand, and with DS2 No Way Home coming soon, plus what's happening with Loki, it would be really cool to get it locked down exactly how the multiverse works and where you think the MCU is going with it compared to comics, etc. Cheers, man.
All right. So I put together just a breakdown of kind of what I thought was important to know about this multiverse. And you guys chime in with whatever you think. But basically,
it's choice. It's all about choices.
It's all about choices. I think that's somewhat true. But also, yeah, you're jumping way ahead of me here.
Sorry. Lay it out.
Okay.
I wanted to be the smart guy.
They use time travel to get into the multiverse in this particular circumstance. But basically, it's based on the mini worlds version of time travel. There's three basic versions of time travel, as I see it. Two of them are based on the idea of there's just one universe. So type one is the world is as it is. You can't make changes. Any time travel you do, was always supposed to happen and it always existed and it just loops back on itself. And it's great. It's a really good, clean version of time travel. It's very elegant, but the problem is storytelling is almost impossible because you can't make changes. So what's the point, right? There's various movies that do this. The problem is, most of them I can't even mention without spoiling them because a lot of them, the resolution of the movie is realizing, oh, we can't make changes. Because the whole point of it. So it's really hard to make any movie in that kind of universe that is a sequel. Cause once you know you can't make changes, what is the, anyway, so that's one version of time travel. I don't think it works very well for storytelling except for one.
I think the time machine did a pretty solid take on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, the Guy Pearce film, he went back in time and tried to stop his fiance from getting killed. Turns out that she got killed in another way. And it was this is destined to happen, fixed point in time, sorry, I couldn't help it, whatever. But instead of going back and trying over and over again, he went forward in time to try to, find the answers to time travel.
Right, okay.
And then it wasn't really about finding the answers to time travel, it was, finding that humanity sucks.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay. I haven't seen Time Machine. But it sounds like he still made a change. Or I haven't read it or seen it.
That movie's 20 years old. Don't feel bad.
Okay.
So that's one type. The other type that exists on one timeline is the kind where you can make changes. You go back and you make a change and it changes your timeline that you're on so that you're now on a different timeline.
And your whole timeline shifts.
Yeah, your timeline shifts so when to become a new timeline.
When you go back to the future.
Yes, you're again stealing my thunder because the point of the real problem with this time travel, I'm just teasing. The real problem with this time travel is it creates paradoxes all over the place and nothing ever makes sense. Basically, everything you do to make a change changes your future, so nothing can make sense, i.e. Back to the Future is bullshit.
What? You broke it.
Yeah.
You broke reality.
Well, if you really want to get into Back to the Future, we can, but it's no, and I know we don't have time, but it's basically,
the
real problem with, Real problem with Back to the Future is they change the types of time travel halfway through, and they just choose whichever one they want when they want, and it's real confusing. But I digress. That leads us to type three, which is the mini worlds theory, the multiverse. And that is what we have here. In this type, you can go back and change things, but they don't change your timeline. Your timeline is not affected. It creates a branch timeline. So any change creates its own version of the world, the universe, the timeline. Those all those words are synonymous in my mind. The universe, the timeline, and the world's more localized, but the world, if you're dealing with Earth-based stuff. It's all like, those are all the same thing. It's all versions of reality, timeline, universe, same thing in my mind. I don't know if there's any real solid difference. Except for in actual quantum mechanics, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, right. Let's talk about string theory for a minute. Now that tracks. And the first time I ever learned about the mini worlds theory is in Dragon Ball Z, whenever Trunks came from the future and he affected the past, and it didn't matter what happened that he did with the past, it branched off into another verse, and his timeline was never affected. And that broke my brain, because at that point I had only ever seen Back to the Future and the time machine, and I had this understanding of this is how time travel should work, right?
Yeah.
And then he says if I change the past, it doesn't do anything for my timeline, it only helps yours. And I was like, dude, what? No, that's not how it works. So introduction to many worlds kind of abruptly like that.
That's interesting. I like that as a introducing a different kind of time travel. I mean, it's kind of what happens in certain movies, like I mentioned with Type One, where you find out the type of time travel and that is the resolution of the movie. That's a big character moment for Trunks when he realizes, oh, I can't change my future. I can only change their future. That's cool. Yep. I like that. I haven't seen that part of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. And because he knew that he couldn't change his future, that his actions were only affecting their timeline, he still stuck around to try to make sure that their timeline was as good as it could be before leaving.
Mm. Okay.
It's a real selfless guy. Yeah, real good guy, that's right. Trunks.
I like it. I like mm-hmm. it. Okay. So the back to this little ideas that I have. So the MCU, they've made a few notable additions to this version of time travel that I haven't really seen many other places. It seems based on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which may or may not be canon, and the discussions of levels of variance energy in Loki, that small changes to the timeline that don't have long-term impacts do not create what they're calling Nexus events, which means that very similar timelines seem to have the ability to recongeal into a single timeline.
That's a gross word. That sounds gross.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I don't like timelines congealing.
I love it. I love it. It's sexy.
No, Jell-O. Not the noises. Gross.
Okay. Sorry. So, I've actually never heard this used before until we talked about it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where they had the idea of the river, and if you throw a stick in the river, it might separate, but it comes back together. That was the and they talk about making ripples, not waves. So they don't want to change it too much, because then it actually will branch the timeline.
Right. You put one stick in there, it's going to go around the stick. It can't go right where that stick is, but it'll go around and reconverge. But then if you put enough sticks in there, it will divert the flow.
Yes. It almost seems as if the timeline itself has some sort of desire to be one timeline, which now we know the TVA and possibly the, in my mind, the Sorcerer Supremes might be protecting the sacred timeline and causing it to flow back towards itself.
Well, Doctor Strange did say he's protecting your reality, douchebag.
Mm-hmm. So it's really nice, because it conveniently allows writers to only deal with other worlds that are significantly dissimilar to the one they're dealing that they're in. It's right. because there's only ones that branch, which I think that's cool. I think that's like a nice, it cleans up the multiverse so that it only branches when there's big events. Yeah. The second change, as far as I see it, is that not only time travel shenanigans create branches. And I've seen this a little bit before, but like, it seems that they can spring up naturally from the timeline. But the thing, again, like I said about, it seems like the timeline wants to bring itself back together. It's not only that, like, choices on the timeline can create branches. Sylvie has the line that says, is that the universe is fighting to be free of Kang's control, which makes me wonder if that's just like a natural states thing where like the universe exists. It's like Kang has dammed the river all around and is forcing it to flow in this certain way, and it's always fighting to burst out. Is that a natural way of things, or is there some sort of like, is there someone, it could be a Watu, it could be whoever, that's fight, like, sort of like causing things to want to go back to their normal way, wanting to sort of defeat Kang in that way, you know? Yeah.
The standard answer for the MCU cast here is, I don't know.
Right.
Sure.
Is someone in...
I have no idea.
I'm all right. Shoulders.
I don't have a lot to say about this topic. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me that they have these two ideas, that the universe both heals itself and that the universe is fighting to be free of the timeline. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that for, like, one decision, things generally can go back the way that, you know, had originally been planned or whatever. But it's when a series of decisions are made in a way that's different is when it starts to make that branch and like actually diverge from, you know, the main timeline or whatever. And that's what I think they mean by building up variance energy, is that enough decisions, enough actions have been made that are different from what should be, quote unquote, happening.
Yeah.
That it makes that branch go.
Well, I think it's
and
right
that's
there.
The sticks in the river.
I think it's right there in the title, the variance energy. Like, it's either, you know, ripples, not waves. So yeah, you can create waves by throwing lots of sticks, or you can create waves by throwing a big rock. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, just one big one.
So one big decision seems like it could also affect the timeline in a big way. Certain little things, even in Loki, just didn't seem like they were big deals, but then apparently created enough variance energy. So it's just hard to know. And it just seems like it's whatever, in that particular case, it's whatever the one who remains is trying to get them to understand, you know, like, wants the TVA to do.
Yep.
He decides where there's variance energy, it seems like.
I think it's less about what he decides is variance energy, and more like, if anything goes against what he has dictated to Miss Minutes, that the timeline should be, and she runs her calculations and says, you know, if it's going to vary too much because of these calculations, because statistics, then we need to prune it and get it back in line.
It also could literally be he's sitting in the Citadel with some sort of monitoring device at the Citadel. He's literally watching the bands of time. We see it behind his window visually. We see the bands are starting to strip out into branches. So like that red line he could literally draw that red line on the window if he wanted to and be like, oh, there it is. Go get that one.
I just imagine like creepy old He Who Remains with a fucking telescope at the window. Just like, oh,
yeah.
Oh, no. No, not like that. Pick up the phone. Hey, you gotta fix that. There's shit blowing up. It shouldn't be like that.
So, what does this mean for storytelling going forward, I guess, is like really the thing. And like, to me, it means they can do whatever the hell they want to. Like, they literally can. Like, it doesn't have to, the X-Men don't have to have existed. The Fantastic Four don't have to have existed since the 60s or whatever. Like, anything they want to do. We've been sitting here on this podcast for 7 years projecting, like, how they would bring these people in, how they could do it with the current way the MCU is structured. with the multiverse and the way they're doing it, like, they can do anything they want.
Literally anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, an example of what can be done multiversally is there was an in the Spider-Verse comic.
Okay.
You know, there's the web of all realities is what they called it, but, like, every different, there's, you know, an infinite number of realities, one of which has a steampunk world that May Riley, Lady May Riley, got bitten by a spider, and that gave her spider powers, and so now she's steampunk style Spider-Man, Spider-Woman, Lady Spider, Lady Steampunk Spider, I don't know. She's got on a corset, and, like, that corset has a gizmo, some sort of gadget attached to her back, and has, like, clockwork legs that come out of it, and she's a crime fighter against the six men of Sinistry in that verse. Like,
interesting.
Could be done. That's a thing that could exist because multiverse.
Yeah. And you were talking about this. One of the things that Charlie asked was to include the Spider-Verse. So to me, the Spider-Verse is no different than the rest of the multiverse.
Yep.
But why there is a Spider-Verse is there are different, and you can explain this better than I can. There are different characters that exist multiversally or travel the multiverse that care about the Spider-Man specifically in different stories.
In Spider-Verse, it's there's this guy that is called the Master Weaver, and he basically can open doors to any point in any reality, any version of the multiverse. And he's like a prisoner of these beings called the Inheritors. Morlun is one of the guys that Spider-Man had fought at one point, Spider-Man in the 616 universe. And this was the only Spider-Man that has defeated one of them and sent him packing. So that's why he's, like, the greatest or whatever. But, this Master Weaver opens, you know, portals to realities where there is a spider person who they call the Totem, or the spider totem in that universe. And it's every universe has a spider person. It's, you know, it could be Miles Morales, could be Gwen Stacy, Mayday Parker, whoever, you know, depending on the verse. But there is always a spider person that has, you know, followed the general, got bitten by a spider, became a hero path. And they feed on that spider totem life force. And right. That's, like, why they're going across the verse. But the Master Weaver basically sees it as a web of reality and time. And he can pull the threads of the web to manipulate them in some way.
Yeah.
It's a real heady kind of comic line.
There's different versions of this. We've all seen Into the Spider-Verse. I don't know if we've all seen it, but you should. It is so good. Even if you don't like cartoon things, Ash, it is the best. It is so good.
I doubt it's the best, but it's probably great.
Like, I would put it against almost anything. I would put it against, like, the MCU. Like, it's that good. Like, it's really, really great. Just a really, really great thing. Great story. But in that one, the idea is Kingpin is creating some sort of multiverse device to reach out to find, to reach out to the multiverse. I won't spoil any more than that. And Kingpin's doing that, and Spider-Man's fighting him, and then other spider people from that multiverse machine, I guess also fighting Kingpin and things, end up falling through and getting brought through to the timeline, and they end up all working together to fight Kingpin, which is super fun. There's also the Spider-Verse sort of brought up in the 90s animated series where there's, like, the Beyonder is out looking for Spider-Man to fight Spider Carnage. It's like, for some reason, the Spider Totem or the Spider, and if we're being honest, it's because Spider-Man is Marvel's most popular character, and bringing him into the multiverse and giving different versions of him is just a popular thing to do. But the way it ties into now, the way it ties into the MCU is we have two versions of Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield. Neither one of them are that bad. Like, there are good things and bad things about both those series.
don't care for the Garfield.
I hear that. I hear that.
I saw Ashley's face and was like, ooh.
It's not my favorite.
She disagrees.
Like, I don't know. That version of him kind of goes against everything that Peter Parker's supposed to be. Because, like, he's like a model, good-looking guy.
Agreed.
Like, he doesn't have that, like, you know, people bullied me, I've had a hard life kind of energy. That's like, and that even like for the actor, he just didn't have that like, oh, throw some glasses on him. It's like the trope, but that didn't work either.
Yeah. I agree. They definitely don't play with that trope as much. But the thing is, like, as much as Peter Parker is that nerd, he's also the quippy, fun Spider-Man who also has like beautiful ladies fighting over him all the time. So like, he has some
Spider-Man.
Swag.
But that doesn't, I mean, you don't have to look
Peter
like
Parker
the jock to have,
agreed.
That's the whole point. He's supposed to be nerdy and girls are like, think that he's, you know, hot because he's smart and he's funny.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like the jock and I'm smart and I'm funny and I'm like good looking in a traditional way. It's just like, I don't know. For me, that wasn't my Peter Parker. That's why I think the young one, the Tom Holland was perfect. Like, I'm too old to be physically attracted to him, but if I was 16, I could understand. Like, he has that like cute, he's not like traditionally hot.
He's not like, yeah. I mean, I yeah. I think he's an attractive young man. But
he's
I
an attractive young man, but he's not like a young Chris Hemsworth or
right. He has kind of a like, they do a good job of playing up the geeky sensibility in that, which they did not do in the Garfield stuff. I agree with that completely.
Mm-mm. Right. But the thing with Spider-Man is because he's got the mask on, he's, you know, he's able to let himself go, and that's where the mm-hmm. quippiness and character,
the confidence comes from.
Yeah, the confidence comes from is that he is able to put that mask on and be somebody else. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, when he takes that off, he's back to being Parker and getting shoved around, and he's just like, life sucks. I can't pay the rent.
Yeah, for sure. And it's not even the just geekiness. It's like the overall downtrodden nature of Peter Parker. Like, he's
right.
Just his life is just constantly falling apart. Which I really wonder how they're going to do that in the MCU. Like, if he'll continue, once he gets past, you know, it's going to be hard because now he's got like connections to Tony Stark and stuff. Like, I wonder if like, if Norman Osborn comes and takes over, if like Spider-Man will lose.
Oh yeah. Like he's cut off from his millions.
Yeah. Cause I feel like a rich Peter Parker is also a problem. A rich adult Peter Parker is as much of a problem as a cool teenage Peter Parker. You know what I mean?
Unless they're setting him up to be the new, like Robert Downey Jr., like the new Tony Stark of the MCU as he starts to get older.
Sure.
Which did happen.
Right.
Yeah.
In the comics. Yeah.
Parker
Industries.
Yeah.
Parker Industries was a thing.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the thing with Spider-Verse. I don't think there's anything particularly different about the Spider-Verse. It's just the fact that it's a shorthand for the fact that a Spider-Man tends to travel the multiverse a lot.
Right.
It's
multiverse via the vehicle of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know about spider powers. Now here's a bunch of different ways that it could be made.
Mm-hmm. Here's a pig. Here's a spider pig.
Yeah,
here's
this one's a pig.
I don't know why anybody was so surprised about the Loki thing, the Loki Gator. If we start to look at like, there's spider pig.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? Are there any other animals?
Oh yeah, there's a whole universe around Spider-Ham. He has like an entire like rogues gallery and everything. And we mentioned it on the WandaVision episodes, but Mephistork is even a thing. Which is why the stork thing was like, oh, it's Mephisto.
I know.
Mephisto. I still think it.
But Mephistork is literally a Spider-Ham villain. Like,
that's funny.
Okay, so the thing that I've been impressed with so far, and Loki kind of brought us to, is the amount of variance. And I'm wondering how much that ties into Loki himself being the trickster god and having all this power to metamorphosize himself.
Change.
That ability to change himself around to different types of beings, like, or is that something we're going to see a lot of, similar to what we're talking about with Spider-Ham? Like, are we going to connect to these, like, comics and cartoons? Is it going to connect that crazy, or is that just a feature of the fact that Loki is so different as a being that he was able to have that much variance?
I think it's both of those, actually.
Okay.
Because Loki as we know it as we know him, it, they, as we know them, Loki is able to shift so much and is shapeshifter, magician, whatever. So like on a whim can be whatever Loki wants to be.
Right.
But now that the multiverse is branching off, it's not just one particular point in time that's branching off. It's the whole timeline.
Right.
So given enough time from the past to, you know, what would be equivalent to now, but it branched this way, so it's way off into whatever. Like, things could be vastly different.
It's a really good point that, like, Loki is the perfect example to bring into this. No one else would be believable that a small choice was made and there's suddenly, what, you know, a completely different Loki. You know what I mean?
Hulk, like, Loki.
If Spider-Man, like, made a different decision, he'd still probably look like Peter Parker or whatever. You know what I mean? He'd still probably be a basic Peter Parker. But Loki introducing us to the multiverse and being able to be like, I made a decision and now I look like an alligator and that sent me off. That makes sense for Loki, you know?
Yep.
And that's really interesting. I like that idea a lot.
Yeah. And, like, with Spider-Man and using him as the vehicle, The idea behind Spider-Verse is that regardless of what is happening in the universe, regardless of where the universe has gone, Spider-Man is always the same. You know, the Spider-Person is always the hero. I've got bit by a spider, great power, great responsibility, became hero, helping people. Like, it's always the same, regardless of who the Spider-Person is, it's the same.
He's always had tragedy, he always feels apart from others.
Right.
All that stuff, but he's still Spider-Man. Or still the Spider-Person. The Spider-Totem.
They. Because it's males and females. There's one that's, oh, it's so cute. The art style on it is just so cutesy. And, like, it feels like My Little Pony style art, you know, where it's all, like super bubbly arms and everything. But, like, Penelope Parker is the one who got bitten. And she's just like, ew, it's so gross. Ew. It's, like, it's so different from what I know of Peter Parker. And, like, as I'm reading, I'm like, this is great. Oh, my God, I want to read this whole line.
The last thing I have written on my little guide here is, what questions are left? What do we not know? And one of the biggest ones for me is the quantum realm and the TVA. They seem to exist outside, and the Citadel for that matter, seem to exist outside of the timeline. Or do they? Like, that's like the thing. They seem to, because, well, they say time passes differently here, so maybe they're not part of the timeline. The Citadel is literally looking at the timeline branch, so it's literally outside of whatever our three-dimensional space is. It is outside of it, looking in at it.
What does the Ancient One say in Doctor Strange when he's just floating around? She says something like, you're in a place that's outside of space and time.
Talking about the mirror dimension, right?
Right. So it's like all of these places, I think you're right. I think they all exist outside of any timeline.
Right. Right. I think that is very possible.
That's interesting.
She does send him on a head trip through the multiverse.
Through the multiverse, not the mirror. It's when he's taking his first little trip through the multiverse is when she's saying that to him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Before all the weird little hands and stuff.
Yes, there's that too. I thought she takes him to the mirror dimension and she's explaining the mirror dimension. She does that as well, but yeah.
Yeah, that's after he's already like signed on.
Okay.
Yeah. The head trip through the multiverse is teach me.
Yeah, that was a quick acid trip, you know.
Yeah.
What's in that tea?
Freak out.
I loved it.
I want to go watch that movie again right now.
I love
Doctor Strange was so good.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict Cumberbatch was mentioned in the Spider-Verse comic. Like the Spider UK. When he called him like Benedict Cumberbug. And I was like, what? Like, I was reading it. I was like, what?
It's funny. I watched a couple, like, breakdowns, like, TikToks and stuff of people who watched Doctor Strange since they've seen Loki. And there's a ton of stuff in there that seems to tie into all this multiversal stuff, clearly. But, like,
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah. If you go back and watch it, like, now that we know more clearly what the multiverse looks like, it's really starting to piece together based on all the stuff that Ancient One is teaching Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
But in their situation, they're talking about the multiverse these different dimensions. And it seems like there's a delineation between like a different timeline and a different dimension, like the mirror dimension or the place where Dormammu is.
Dark dimension.
The dark
dimension. The quantum realm, for that matter. Like, I'm interested to know, like, if there's a different timeline branches, does it have its own mirror dimension? Or is the mirror dimension also a thing that can be accessed from any timeline, you know? Like, we need these rules. I really need these rules for my own edification. I just need these rules.
I remember Ken was having a real hard time with some of the Doctor Strange stuff. It was just a lot of the stuff with, like, the sling rings. Like, you know, why he didn't use that more with the whole Thanos thing. Even at the end, I don't know. And I agreed with him a lot with that stuff. So I hope that they get into that stuff. Like, there's just so, like, can you open... So if you're in space, can you open a sling ring hole and get... back to Earth? Like, could he have done that? I guess he could have, because he's like, turn the ship around. Like, bitch, why don't you just open up a sling ring hole and go back through? You know, your first thing is Tony has to turn the ship around and take us back. But like, moving in space, can you use that?
Can you go and bring the rest of the heroes? Like,
moving in space, I don't know, but definitely they did it from Titan to Earth.
But Titan is also moving in space.
Yeah, right. Well, so is Earth.
Right.
It's really, like, and that's why I was like, well, why wouldn't he immediately have been like, you know, we're in spit, like, instead of being like, Stark, are you going to turn us around? It's like, you have all the capabilities to get everybody home safely right now.
Yeah.
But instead they didn't do that.
Instead of it being like, Stark, turn us around, it should have just been like, ooh, that sucked. Let's go home.
Yeah.
Like, I'd already be opening it. Like, are you guys coming?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go. We're going home.
And then he could have been like, well, you know, what if we bring the fight to him? I don't know. I thought that was, I was like, you do have a point.
Yeah. It's,
you know, I would have liked to have seen, like, open the sling ring portal and then Stark saying, like, I want to bring the fight to him, but thanks for opening that portal, and then, like, summons another version of the Iron Man suit, like, add-ons or more nanites or whatever.
That would have been amazing.
Like,
why didn't they do that?
Like, a Thanos Buster type of armor would have been.
Or just the Hulk Buster.
Badass.
Yeah, that could have been
okay
really
by
cool.
then? No, it was okay by then.
Yeah. That would have been really, really creative and fun way to use their powers together.
The Hulkbuster was used in Wakanda in that same film.
Yeah.
By Bruce.
It would have been being used at the same time. Could you imagine if he would have sling-ringed it up and then all of a sudden Bruce would have fallen into the like Wakanda thing? Like, what's happening?
Oh, no. What am I going to do? That's funny.
Yeah.
So, I was touching on the quantum realm and TVA, and both of these things seem and these other dimensions also, I guess, but some of them seem outside of the timeline. Like Dormammu says there's no time, doesn't exist there and stuff.
Well, Charles Horton, wrote in the chat.
Yeah.
A really solid theory, he wrote something that inspires a really solid theory. He says, it exists outside of the timeline, but it started on a timeline. It's the product of the timeline, but is able to exist outside of it. But if you remember something that Renslayer said about the timelines, when they get pruned, they can't destroy all of that matter, so they just send it to the end of time. So what if the TVA was just one of those that was like forcibly branched and then pruned and didn't get sent to the end of time, just got kind of like pushed off into its own little thing else. Like
possible.
Yeah, this is a little, we're gonna separate this and this is where we're gonna operate.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible.
It's also, oh man, this is gonna get real technical and you're gonna hate it, but think of a fiber optic cable. A fiber optic cable is a bunch of strands of transparent fiber, either glass or plastic or some material that light can travel through, but it's a bunch of individual strands that are all flowing the same direction. They are all part of the same cable, but they're separate. So what if it's like that with the time stream, where Doctor Strange can now, you know, go and visit those other fibers of the cable? Or could have gone through those different fibers of the cable, like with the sling ring, and the mirror dimension was just like the closest one.
Right. And well, then that's the question, is like, if that's the case, if like these other dimensions are like a fibrous cable and they exist together with the timeline, that's great. Does that mean when they branch, do all of those things branch together?
Like if they frayed the cable,
is it
a bunch of different versions of the mirror dimension?
Right.
Now?
Does the mirror dimension exist in both those new timelines, or is it one mirror dimension that they both have access to? Which the quantum realm seems that way, and the reason say that is because like they can they use the quantum realm to travel between timelines through time travel. They can and in. The Citadel at the end of time, he's looking at the timeline, so it seems like he is outside the timeline. The inhabitants are variants taken from Prune timeline, so it's not like they live on a timeline. They're taken from all these Prune timelines. It just seems like they're setting up that the Quantum Realm, the TVA, and the Citadel all exist outside of Indy's specific timeline. To me, that's what it seems like. But I don't know. They could all have their own.
I really don't want there to be a bunch of different variant Dormammu's. That would be terrifying.
That would be terrifying.
I saw that eyebrow raise, Ashley. You like that
idea?
He seems
really easy to defeat. I don't know. Doctor Strange didn't have much of a problem.
With the Time Stone, but no more does he have
it. There's so many of those lying around the TVA. Somebody knows.
Somebody's got one.
So, I don't know. That's we talked about it on last episode a little bit, but also like what is going to be the new mission of the new TVA? I feel like that's another big question we have.
Yep.
I wonder if it's going to be like really culty. Like, what if it's like anybody who goes against Kang, they're pruning like anybody who stands against whatever his mission statement is.
Yeah. Well, that's the question. What's the new mission statement? We knew the old mission statement was we got one timeline. We're keeping it rolling. Time is a flat circle.
I like that Matthew McConaughey became He Who Remains.
He Who Remains, Matthew McConaughey edition.
It's all right, baby. As long as you keep going with that big old circle, you know what I'm saying?
Flat circle. Okay. So I put out a call on Facebook for people asking questions about the multiverse because I thought I'd get a couple. I got about 30, and I know Ashley has to shut down pretty soon. Do you want to hang out for a few questions, or do you need to head out?
Yeah, I can hang out for a few questions.
Okay, cool. I just knew that you were...
Are you going to, like, 10, or what's your plan?
I was thinking, like...
You're reading all 30?
No, I'm going to run down a few of them. I'm not going to do any of the responses, obviously. I'm just going to do the ones that people posted, but there's a lot. I really thought we'd have, like, a very short... five or six people would have a question. But we have about 30 here, so...
Matt, you put the question in a group where there are over 1,000 people.
Historically, that's not worked out.
Yeah. I should have had time to prune them because some of these are probably going to be things we've already talked about. But let's just run down a few of these in the Facebook chat. By the way, if you're not in the Facebook group, what are you doing? If you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/groups/SP chat. That's Stranded Panda Chat. Or just search for the Stranded Panda Chat. It's also a link in the description of this episode, so it is the place to go. And just answer the questions. It says, like, yes, or I agree, or something like that, when you agree to follow the rules.
Yeah, there's two questions you have to make sure you answer to get in.
Yeah, a lot of people don't do them, and then it just causes a lot of work for the moderators because to write people a message, say, hey, answer the question, please.
Just deny them. Like, you'll figure it out.
Oh, really? Oh.
Mm-hmm. That's why I don't do most of those.
Yeah, I try. Sometimes I just wait to, and I'm like, I can't handle that right now because I can't take time to write a message. So just answer the questions. Just say yes and I agree.
If I see yes and I agree, I'm like, cool, approve. If I don't see that, I'm like, somebody else will handle
it. As long as they look like a real person and they have those things, I approve them. And we do try to keep the group really fun. Anyway, let's get to these. First of all, Gail says, let's count the number of arguments, which is just a reference to the fact that the first time we had this conversation about how the multiverse works, we argued hard. Listen to that first episode of Loki if you want to hear that.
We haven't been arguing this episode. I think we've grown as people.
Well, we've also learned a lot about what they actually intended. Let's see. Trenton just in a curse-laden thing. We'll skip that one. But thank you, Trenton. Brianna, who has been
Beast Man
over here in the chat, says, LOL, how? That's my question. Not growing up on comics, I am still having a hard time wrapping my brain around it all. But I feel like have Wanda pinned down. She's a Nexus being, which means this, there's only one version of her. Jeff said it in one of the recent casts that she can't travel between verses, but I could have sworn during WandaVision, it was discussed that being a Nexus being, there's only one version of her. It's all, I don't know, LOL.
In WandaVision, they didn't mention Nexus beings.
No.
At all.
They have, in any of this, they haven't mentioned Nexus beings, right?
Yeah, that's right. Us gaslighting you. We did. Yeah.
Well, in WandaVision, yeah, they talk, they have the Nexus commercial.
Yeah, and then we went real hard with that whole, with what the Nexus being was.
Which,
yeah.
Here's the thing about Nexus
being.
We've
explained it.
That is comics.
It's not entirely comics. And not just that, it's like a 1-4-issue comic that was that.
Which we thought, and it was another Mephisto situation. So honestly, you can probably ignore.
Oh, so it's absolutely canon.
Brianna, you can probably ignore the Nexus being idea. It just seems instead the Nexus idea they're going with in this version of the verse is the fact that if you cause enough variance energy, it creates a Nexus. So it has nothing to do with Nexus beings, a Nexus event.
Event.
Well, okay, though.
Sure.
In the comics, the Nexus beings are like the anchor point of their particular reality, and right. They kind mm-hmm. of represent the main force of magic of your specific timeline. So they are the Nexus being, the cause or the reason for that branch's existence. So they could then be a Nexus being if that's a branch reality.
Sure.
Like, because they're like, the cause of that branch.
That should be the new term, what Nexus being means, right. But it doesn't seem like it ties together with what in comics a Nexus being is. So I think
right.
Ignore all that Nexus being talk. Just treat right. it like you treat Mephisto.
Absolutely canon.
Just trying to get your goat. All right. Brad Heineman says, can you guys go over Nexus beings? We just did. Sorry.
Hooray.
Stephanie Bestlin says, I'd like to hear more discussion around the fact that the concept of a multiverse isn't the same as a multiverse timelines or multiple timelines, even though it seems like Marvel is treating them as the same. So we did discuss this before. I think it's the same thing, just straight up. Mm-hmm.
I think for the sake of what we're seeing on right. screen, it's the same thing.
Yeah. And quantum mechanics is not the same thing.
Right. Like the fourth dimension is the everything that's happening on our timeline as it is, as we experience it now from the Big Bang until however our universe ends. And then the fifth dimension is all points or all of the various ends that could come from the Big Bang start. So, like, that is what we're seeing as the multiverse in the Marvelverse, but then, like, you could split that off to where if a universe started without the Big Bang having started it, you know, if it has different laws of physics, different whatever, like, it's a completely separate timeline that also has a branching multiverse to it, a mini-worlds theory of its own.
Right.
So, like, you know, it gets real crazy as far as, like, how I think there's up to, like, 10 or 11 dimensions of, you know, that thought process, and it's nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
Right. It's insane. That's quantum theory, though. For our purposes in the MCU, it is a timeline is a universe. They're interchangeable terms as far as we understand it now. Now, that may change, but multiple universes, multiple timelines, that all, when we say multiverse, we mean multiple timelines. That's all it means. But she says her biggest question is, how are varying variants, different versions of Loki, possible if there weren't any multiverses before the sacred timeline ended? I understand Nexus events created branch timelines and they were pruned, but if there was just one timeline before the branch, wouldn't every variant Loki be an earlier, identical version of Loki? Does that make any sense? Or should I let go of trying to make sense of it? So,
yes.
here's the problem is Miss Minutes in her description of the Sacred Timeline described it as one single timeline. And even He Who Remains describes it somewhat that way. But we know now that there have to be small changes allowed to the timeline because of the way that variance energy works. Because a small amount of variance energy apparently is not enough to cause it to be pruned. So apparently it's kind of like the cable you were talking about earlier is the Sacred Timeline is a bunch of undulating. And if you watch the video Miss Minute shows, she shows a bunch of undulating sort of cables that form the timeline. And it seems that some of those can drift away from each other a little bit and they snap back into place.
And on all of the monitors in the TVA where they're showing the Sacred Timeline, it's kind of wavy. And that waviness says to me that there are small choices, small changes that can be made as long as everything comes back to this cohesive, you know, this timeline, everything is fine. As long as we get from this point to that point, you know, you can do whatever you want within those confines. But if something that you do is going to cause a branch or cause the timeline to veer away from, you know, this intended goal, then it has to be pruned. And at that point, you know, that Loki gets sent to the end of time. And it could be any version of Loki because Loki, you know, could turn himself into boastful Loki and get a hammer and decide I'm going to defeat all of the Avengers and get all the Infinity Stones, whatever. Even if that story was true, like all of that is kind of why that Loki is a variant and had to be pruned, you know, because that's not supposed to be Loki.
So he did enough things that at some point he did enough things that he would divert the timeline to where it could no longer meet up with itself to become the timeline that ends wherever this one's supposed to end and into the void, I guess.
Yeah, couldn't come back to where it needs to be. And like, I understand why Loki Gator got pruned. Like, nobody can hate on Loki Gator. Everybody loves Loki Gator. So like, you know, if everybody loves Loki Gator, then nobody's going to make him go through a bad life. That's got to be pruned.
Yeah. So this one doesn't really require a response, but I think it's funny. Justin Deep Blued says, Mephisto confirmed? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I mean, it's yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Justin. That's funny. Glenn Kessler says, He Who Remains used the word infinite in describing the number of his variants so many times in episode 6. How do you possibly think storytelling works with a number that big? Or do you think they will settle in on 2 to 6 variants, Kang, Immortus, Iron Lad, etc.?
Okay, so there are a million, or there are an infinite number of variants, but there are a finite number of decisions that need to be made, right? Theoretically? I mean, if he lives...
Because every branch timeline creates its own branches, you know?
Every
decision leads to more decisions. Butterfly effect, it could constantly... It is infinite. That's what he keeps
saying. Kangstantly.
Kangstantly. Yeah.
Exactly. So, sorry. That's a dumb joke. So, my theory, though, on this is that there may be an infinite number of Kangs, but not all of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we could see several Kangs that are that are similar, or one could be like a representative of this type of Kang.
Yeah.
Like, we could have one that is just a, you know, I conquered all the conquerors, the conqueror of conquerors, whatever.
Right.
We have the one that's, you know, I am the benevolent one that weaponized Eliath. You know, we all had this idea, but I'm the one that took it and ran with it.
I think Loki has given us a good blueprint for how this is going to work. Because we see about 30 Lokis in this season. But we only care about 5. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, we only need to care about the ones you need to care about. And if you tell the story carefully and you don't waste time on Lokis you're going to kill off and then replace with the same Loki and all that kind of shenanigans, like, people keep talking about how can you care if the multiverse is real? Cause you could just go to the next, grab Peter Parker from the next universe. That you still care about the Peter Parker you care about. And again, Loki did this well, so did Into the Spider-Verse. Like, I think that we will see that. Shane L. Scanlon says, is there a character whose power is specifically the ability to travel freely through the multiverse?
America Chavez.
That's correct. Who is appearing in what movie?
Multiverse of Madness.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, yes, there is. She has the power to punch star-shaped holes in the multiverse to travel to different timelines and universes.
It's pretty awesome.
And she is in Multiverse of Madness. And if you, they released a wrap gift that they gave to the people who worked on DS Mom. Have y'all seen this? The comic book.
I saw the picture. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, though. They gave a comic book, like a little comic book, to all the people who worked on Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and the cover is a star-shaped hole that they're all jumping through, and it's like, it's America Chavez, who else is in, Wanda, I believe, Wong, and Doctor Strange all jumping through this star-shaped hole. Love it. Mm-hmm. I love it a lot. So, she's coming, she's going to be here, and I think she'll be a big role in that movie.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. Yep. Trenton Carl Pummel says, a real question I have. He's the one who asked about Mephisto earlier, I believe. How many other Marvel universes will the multiverse extend to, if any at all? Obvious ones possible are Fox X-Men, Fantastic Four, Sony Spider-Man, da-da-da-da-da. And then he says, could Marvel retcon and make all the other universes blend in well enough with the storytelling, or should they start with their own version of each character with handpicked actors? Last question, can we please get John Krasinski in as Mr. Fantastic? In the multiverse, you can get him for sure. He's one of them for sure.
He's one of them for damn sure.
I think both is the answer to your question, Trenton. I think that they can, the great thing about the multiverse and storytelling within it is they can touch on the multiverse as much as they want, but they don't have to touch a verse they don't want to. So like the multiverse exists. All worlds are possible.
Yep.
Ben Affleck Daredevil exists somewhere. But we don't have to talk about him. You know what I mean? Like, so like that world blends with our world.
That's one of those far branches. Yeah. That's a different fiber optic cable entirely.
That world exists and it works. There's no reason that world couldn't exist, but we never have to mention it again.
There are reasons that world shouldn't exist, but we don't have to talk about it.
Exactly.
He's like, you killed my dad. I've never laughed so hard in my life when they take off his mask and he just has that faraway face. They're like, who is Daredevil? He's like, and I'm like, Ben, that is not what blind people look like, Ben. Who told you to do that? Oh, Charlie Ben. Cox was so good at, like, Charlie, he put in the work. Like, yeah, he went and was around people he, like, really wanted to represent, you know, and not just jump on there and be like,
the way he moves his eyes is like freaking amazing. Like, I can't imagine.
I need him back.
It's such an involuntary action to move your eyes like that. And like, how did he do it? How did he freaking do it?
It's because he's amazing.
Yeah, he really is.
He did it by being amazing. And there's a ton of rumors that he's going to show up in No Way Home.
And not like, bringing him in is such a wasted, like, you already have a slam dunk. Feige, we already love him. You don't have to do anything.
I can't imagine they're not going
to. The check is written. You just have to cash it.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. For real. 100%. And the thing is, just like previous versions of Daredevil movies that have been made, they don't have to re-explain the origin story. They can have a flashback of it or whatever, but you just start him. He's already Daredevil. You don't have to explain seasons 1 through 3 of Daredevil. You just jump in. Kingpin exists. Daredevil exists.
Oh.
Fight ensues. And those of us who know those stories are going to love it. And those of us who don't know the Netflix stories can still really enjoy and love those stories.
Can still go back and watch it for themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
And catch
Did
up.
Did you see? They said, like, if that was supposed to be canon, that those shows were supposed to take place during the blip.
What? Some people have said that.
I'm like, if you're going to make that be canon, that makes sense. you know, people aren't talking about people being dusted.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like the idea of them existing in the blip because, like, they talk about, you know, the event or, you know,
New York,
the thing, the problem, you know, the thing that the incident that happened in New York, like, that's obviously the alien invasion that happened in Manhattan.
Yeah, I think so.
If it gets it to bringing the characters in, that's all I care about. Like, anything they can do to make it make sense so that they can bring them in and whatever. I don't care. Lie to me. Make it not make sense.
Yeah, sure.
Do what you got to do.
Do whatever you want. I just need him back.
Well, the thing is, you could they could use the multiverse to bring in a very similar version that doesn't have the exact same story. If they didn't want, like say they don't want Kingpin to have the exact same backstory, they could use the multiverse to bring in a similar version played by the same actor that, like, has the similar character, but he is multiversal. So if there's any small quibbles, we just call it multiverse.
Like, it's still Wilson Fisk. It's just because multiverse, the choices that were made through his life and he made are slightly different, so he doesn't have the same backstory. Look, perfectly fine. Still ended up being Kingpin of New York.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm cool with it. I still like Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock being a lawyer. Like, however you need to, if you don't want Elektra to have been in his past, like, cool. I'm cool with that. Fine. You know, whatever you got to do to get me Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock back. Whatever it is. Make this happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Check's written. You just have to cash it.
Yeah, that's right.
Cut the check!
Jennifer Lantrip,
Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny puts just a picture of Deadpool rubbing himself, which I fully approve.
And that's a perfect place to end this episode.
I think you're probably right.
I like it.
I think you're probably right. We have a bunch of other people writing in, but I think we do need to stop.
We need to stop at Deadpool rubbing himself.
Deadpool's rubbing himself, and I have other things to do now.
I'll be in my bunk.
Okay. Thank you guys so much. Thank you, Charlie Ward, for the commissioned episode. We're going to do some more commissioned episodes over the next few weeks. If you are not a patron, go to patreon.com/MCUcast, and you can do a, pledge an amount per episode. We only ever charge once per week, even though sometimes we do 2, 3, 4 episodes a week. We only ever charge once. So, if you want to throw some support our way, it would be very, very appreciated. Stranded Pants. What did I just say? I don't know what I just said. Patreon.com/MCUcast. I think I said strandedpanda.com. Sorry. Patreon.com/MCUcast to support the show. And that's all from us. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.